Chapter 17. Howell. Howell debated whether or not to allow Ivan to offer up his own chamber to him, but in the end decided to bed down in the stables with his man. He'd slept in worse places, and the stables had been cleaned in preparation for the festival. A cloak thrown over sweet-smelling fresh straw, and Howell could sleep like a baby. He missed Mary beside him, but there were times when a change of scenery did a man good. In addition, bedding down with the men-at-arms and more common men could offer Howell a glimpse of what kind of lord Ivan really made. Even if this trip didn't prove fruitful in terms of his investigation of Tegwin's murder, his father would want to know what passed for stewardship in Ross. A whisper of unease curled in Howell's stomach as he dared to wonder what his father would think of his own stewardship of Ceredigion. The two lords he left in charge had been deposed from their lands by Normans and regained them only at Howell's hand. His departure was a kind of test for them, but Howell feared that it might prove more of a test for him and of his judgment instead. Ivan had admitted Howell to Brin Éireann with more welcome than Howell would have given his father had he come to inspect Ebed Istwyth. Still, Howell couldn't help but think Ivan was hiding something, and he wished he'd been able to speak to the guard. But Howell could hardly have forced Ivan to wake him when the morning should do well enough. What disturbed Howell most was the lack of others to ask about Tegwin. Even if the residents of the castle were all new to Brin Éireann, half the people of the Cantref had come to celebrate the harvest festival with their lord. One of them had to have lived here 5 years ago, surely. But Ivan hadn't given Howell a single name, and Evan hadn't found anyone to speak to either. Ruminating on the problem kept Howell awake until most of the men in the stables were sound asleep. Somehow, he must not be asking the right questions yet. The next morning, after a simple breakfast of mutton and bread at the high table, Ivan at last sent his steward to find the guard, a man named Madog. Howell was using his crust to soak up the last of his gravy when the steward came rushing back, his agitation evident. He threw himself to his knees in front of Ivan and Howell.
"My lords, I have just come from the barracks. Old Madog is dead."
Ivan had risen to his feet at the steward's approach and now stared blankly at the steward's downturned head. Howell leaned across the table to look down at the steward.
"Tell us what you know."
This was Ivan's castle, but Howell was a prince of Gwynedd, and he was tired of being stymied at every turn. The steward lifted his head, though he remained kneeling before them.
"I don't know anything more than I've said, my lords. Madog didn't appear at breakfast, but with this crowd I didn't notice. When Lord Ivan sent me to fetch him, I found him lying in his bunk. I went to roust him, but he's dead."
The steward said the last two words in a small voice.
"He must have died sometime in the night."
Ivan's face was completely expressionless. Howell was having trouble deciding exactly what he should do or say. His inclination was to think that Ivan had something to do with the guard's death, but he could hardly accuse the man of murder in his own hall. It would be dramatic, certainly, but not worth risking if the death truly was natural, as unlikely as that seemed at this moment. Ivan bent toward Howell.
"My lord, I am terribly afraid that Tegwin's killer is belatedly tying up loose ends."
"It was my first thought," Howell admitted. "This is my fault."
Ivan straightened to his full height, his jaw rigid.
"He was your one witness, and now he's dead. We should not assume anything until we see him."
Howell found it odd that he was comforting Ivan instead of accusing him of murder.
"Of course, my lord, I will come with you. Perhaps I will learn something."
Ivan turned back to the steward.
"Did you leave Madog where you found him?"
"Yes, my lord,"
the steward said, wide-eyed. At Ivan's gesture, he clambered to his feet on creaking knees and led the way from the hall. Before leaving with Howell, Ivan lifted a hand to gain the attention of his people. Many had risen to their feet to watch the exchange on the dais. Even if those in the rear hadn't been able to hear Ivan's conversation with the steward, the news of Madog's death had flown around the hall with the speed of a trapped sparrow.
"Please continue with the meal," Ivan said. "Our old companion, Madog, has died. We will bury him before the sun sets."
As with Tegwin, the need for Madog's burial was pressing. Howell had never known anyone to actually die on the day of Hallowmas, and to have matching funerals for Tegwin at Eber and Madog at Brin Éireann was disconcerting.
"The more superstitious among our people will be fearful tonight," Howell said to Ivan as they crossed the courtyard to the barracks.
"Will you be here or at Eber for the feast?"
Ivan said.
"I must leave for Eber by noon," Howell said.
"You would be welcome to stay,"
Ivan said. Howell tried to discern a sense of relief in Ivan's voice, but all he heard was the straightforward questions of a lord who had people to see to.
We bury our dead near the chapel at the base of the mountain, Ivan added. If you would consent to stay until we see Madog in the ground, I would be grateful. The gravediggers will begin work immediately.
Of course,
Howell said, not sure what he was agreeing to, if anything, beyond respect for an old man who had the misfortune to die at Hallowmas. Madog had been sleeping in the barracks with dozens of other men, but while 20 had lain on the floor last night, Madog had been given a bottom bunk. He lay on his side, facing the wall. Ivan approached the body first and put a hand on his shoulder. The old guard didn't move, not that Howell expected him to, and after a respectful pause, Howell moved closer and helped Ivan roll Madog onto his back. Madog's eyes were closed as if he were still sleeping. Howell lifted one eyelid. The man's eyes were rheumy, but neither bloodshot nor bulging. Nor did his face show signs that he'd been smothered in the night, which had been Howell's first thought. An overdose of poppy juice was his second, and Howell leaned forward, sniffing for the sweet aroma that often lingered around the face after death. He straightened, not finding it, his eyes narrowing as he scrutinized the body.
He liked his mead, Ivan said, indicating a splotch staining Madog's shirt.
Who doesn't?
Howell sucked on his teeth.
He seems to have died in his sleep.
Soldiers claim to want to die in battle with their boots on, but I would choose this if I could, Ivan said.
Was he ill?
Howell said. Ivan lifted one shoulder. He had an old man's ailments, but none that I thought were pressing, though over the last few days, he had developed a nasty cough.
Would your healer have given him something to help him sleep?
Howell said. Ivan looked at Howell speculatively.
Are you thinking that he took, or was given, too much poppy juice?
Howell kept his gaze steady on Ivan's face. Ivan expelled a sudden snort of laughter.
You think I ordered his death? For what purpose could I possibly have done so?
To prevent me from questioning Madog about what he saw 5 years ago,
Howell said.
Do you think me that foolish, or desperate?
The thought had crossed my mind.
Though when Ivan put it that way, it made less sense than it had in Howell's head.
I suppose you wouldn't be the man I know you to be if you didn't think I could have had a hand in Madog's sudden death,
Ivan said, his surprise and amusement subsiding.
But surely you don't think I killed Tegwin?
Did you?
No.
Ivan's answer was immediate and without equivocation. He gestured towards the door of the barracks.
Please come with me. I have something to show you.
Howell nodded, as curious about Ivan now as he'd ever been about another man's thoughts. All these years, Ivan had been hiding here at B'nai Idan in obscurity, guiding his people and managing his estates with little oversight and no expectation of raising his standing. Provided Ivan had nothing to do with Tegwin's death, after today that should change. Howell was going to have a talk with his father. Men with Ivan's intellect were few and far enough between. It would be a waste to allow Ivan to languish another day in obscurity in his backwater Kentrev. Gwynedd could use him. Ivan and Howell climbed the ladder to the wall walk above the gatehouse. The sun put in a brief appearance, playing hide-and-seek with the clouds that mostly covered the sky. It had rained in the night, so the ground was soft and wet, which the gravediggers would appreciate, though Howell hoped for a dry ride home to Aber. The tips of the wooden palisade were at chin height for both of them. Ivan pointed east over the top of them.
What do you see?
The sea,
Howell said.
Yes, my lord, the sea. But can you see the beach?
Howell squinted into the morning sun, holding up one hand to block the light from shining directly into his eyes.
No.
He turned to look up at the mountain behind him.
What about from the summit?
In good weather, you can see the beach from up there, but you can't see individual people.
Madog's story was that he was on duty and saw the Danish boat come in to take Tegwin on board.
Ivan nodded his head at Howell's unasked question.
Yes, obviously someone should have wondered why he didn't raise the alarm from the first.
Howell gazed over the rampart. His eyesight was excellent, but 5 years ago, Madog had already been an old man. Howell would have been surprised if Madog could have distinguished individual trees 200 yards away, much less spied a longboat out on the water.
What about the maid who said she witnessed Tegwin's departure?
Howell said.
She claimed to have seen what Madog saw, but from the village,
Ivan said.
Would that have been possible?
Howell said.
Possibly.
Ivan scanned the land around Bryn Éireann, not looking at Howell.
But I think now that my sister-in-law no more ran off with a Dane than she joined that convent.
Ivan waved a hand towards a cluster of buildings tucked together, along a river winding to the northwest of Bryn Éireann. Howell could just make out a bell tower poking above the trees.
Then what do you think happened?
Howell said.
If Madog's story wasn't true, why did he tell it?
It could only be because someone made him, or even that he had a hand in her disappearance, Ivan said.
Until today, I told myself that Tegwin ran off with another man because my brother was a fool not to see what he had. Madog's story was full of holes, but I wanted to believe it. And now.
Ivan let out a long breath through his nose.
Now I question if Madog died by chance or was murdered, and I wonder where my brother was when Tegwin died.
Ivan gave Howell a deep bow and turned away, stepping down the ladder first. Once at the bottom, Howell turned to face Ivan, who'd waited for him.
You didn't have to tell me the truth. You could have sent me on my way with all my questions unanswered.
But you would have come back with even more, my lord, Ivan said. Your reputation precedes you.
What do you mean?
All of Gwynedd knows that you always catch your men, Ivan said.
Howell just managed to hide his smirk. That was a reputation he would gladly embrace.
My lord, my lord.
A squat man with a full beard came around the corner of the keep. He puffed up to Ivan and bowed deeply.
I am so sorry, my lord. I just heard the news.
Ivan raised the man up.
Of Madog's death, you mean?
Yes, my lord, he said. It's all my fault.
I'm listening.
Ivan's voice had turned cold. Nobody could miss Ivan's tone, and the man put out a trembling hand towards his lord, before bringing it back to his side an instant later.
Madog had been coughing, with great pains in his chest. I had given him poppy juice 3 nights running to quiet it.
You're the castle's healer, Howell said.
Yes, my lord.
The man ducked his head, not looking into either lord's eyes.
You gave him some last night, Ivan said. At what hour?
It must have been close to midnight,
the healer said. Ivan sent a sharp glance at Howell. That was hours after Ivan had told Howell that Madog was already asleep, and well after Ivan had informed the hall of Tegwin's death.
That's not all.
The healer hurried on as if anxious to get the full story into the open as quickly as possible, which he probably was.
I checked my stores just now, and the larger vial from which I'd poured his smaller dose is missing.
He wrung his hands in front of him.
I slept in the herb hut all night. I don't see how anyone could have come in and taken it.
Then what's your explanation for its absence?
Howell said.
I think Madog took the vial himself before he left, in a moment when I'd turned away and wouldn't see him.
Comprehension was dawning on Howell. He glanced at Ivan, who pointed at one of his men.
Check around Madog's bed, I'm guessing under it, for a vial. It would have held poppy juice.
The man ran off. Ivan turned to Howell.
If he took his own life rather than submit to my questions.
Ivan put a hand on Howell's arm.
Please don't say any more, my lord.
Then the soldier Ivan had sent into the barracks returned, bringing with him the vial in question. Ivan sniffed it and gave it to the healer, who took it, nodding.
This is it.
He peered inside.
It's empty. No man could survive such a dose.
Ivan caught the healer's upper arm in a strong grip.
Not a word of this to anyone?
They stared at each other through several heartbeats, and then the healer nodded.
Of course, my lord. The original dose I gave him must have confused him. He was an old man, and must have taken the rest by mistake.
Howell clasped his hands behind his back. His throat was thick around all the words he wasn't going to say.
Exactly.
Ivan dismissed the healer, gave Howell a long look, and then took a step towards the great hall.
Come, my lord.
But Howell put out a hand to stop him.
I'm sorry, Ivan, but I have yet another question I must ask you.
Ivan stiffened, but he turned back.
There's more? Regarding your brother's death,
Howell said.
Please tell me what you know of it.
Ivan opened his mouth, closed it, and then said,
Do you think Tegwin's death and Bran's could be related?
Relief crossed his face. If that were true, then Bran could be absolved of Tegwyn's death.
I can't know until I start asking questions,
Howell said.
As far as I am aware, nobody investigated the ambush that killed your brother.
He died 2 years after Tegwyn ran off. Ivan stopped, and then gave Howell a rueful smile.
I'm used to saying that.
He gazed over Howell's shoulder towards the gatehouse, but Howell didn't think he was seeing it. For what reason might someone have killed them both?
I can't answer that yet, but I have to consider it,
Howell said.
At the very least, knowing who killed Bran could lead me to who killed Tegwyn, or vice versa. Obviously, Bran didn't shoot himself. What of his enemies?
Ivan gave a tisk of disgust.
My brother was a hard man, as you know. He angered many a man from here to Powys. It could have been anyone who held a grudge. We are all archers here. Even you?
Howell held his breath. There couldn't be a greater violation of the law of hospitality than to accuse a man of murder in his own castle, for the second time within the hour. Ivan regarded Howell for a moment.
I didn't kill my brother.
He made a broad gesture to include all of Bryn Idden. I wouldn't be the first man to envy his brother's holdings, but I have my own lands and my own people in Eastern Rus. As the third son, I would have had to kill 3 people, my father and my 2 elder brothers, to inherit. I never dreamed of it. I never wanted it.
Cadwallader could lie with a sincerity to which Howell had grown accustomed over the years, but Ivan's frankness and steady gaze had Howell believing him despite his misgivings.
Then who did?
Ivan shook his head.
I just don't know.
Both silent, they walked side by side across the courtyard, until, out of the corner of his eye, Howell saw Evan appear in the doorway to the stables and lift one finger.
Excuse me,
Howell said. Ivan nodded and continued towards the hall door, which a guard opened for him.
I apologize, my lord, but I didn't want to shout to gain your attention.
Evan's face colored as Howell approached him. Howell knew he was referring to the lifted finger, though he should have known better by now than to think that Howell would be bothered by the gesture. Howell demanded that his men treat him with respect, but he didn't have patience for obeisance for its own sake.
Never mind that. What is it?
Howell said.
I have been inquiring of Ivan's men, gently, I assure you, as to their knowledge and feelings about their former lord, Bran,
Evan said.
I'm glad to know you're working on our second murder,
Howell said.
I just accused Ivan of murdering not only the guard, but his brother too, and he still treated me with courtesy. I don't know if I can ask him for more. Not today.
What of the guard? Evan said.
He is dead, possibly by his own hand. Whether it was by accident or to avoid my questions, I can't tell you,
Howell said.
The former would be a strange coincidence, Evan said.
Howell's jaw tightened.
I have no further avenue to pursue in this regard, and I have no interest in preventing a long-suffering servant to be refused burial in consecrated ground.
Evan took in a breath.
The men here tell me that Bran was not a pleasant man to work for, but that word is still mostly hearsay. Like every other piece of evidence,
Howell said.
How so in this instance?
Of the 20 men in Bran's tailey, only 3 remain at Bryn Idden. Howell rubbed his chin.
Ivan said something about that to me last night. Discomfort in being guarded by another man's former men, I think.
The transition from Lord Kinnan to Bran was troubled, or so 2 of the fellows tell it, Evan said. Bran found places for most of his father's men elsewhere, as did Ivan when he assumed the lordship. From what those here tell me, the men who served Bran are scattered about Wales, some as far south as Gwent.
What of the remaining 3?
Howell said.
2 were no more than boys at the time, sons of lesser lords, who joined Bran's ranks a few weeks before he died. The 3rd is an older fellow, who begged to remain at Bryn Idden. You spoke with all 3 of them?
Evan nodded.
You want me to find them for you? Not right now,
Howell said.
I trust that you learned what you could from them. Thank you, my lord.
Evan stood a little straighter. Howell was itching to talk to Bran's man, but Evan was coming along as a lieutenant, and Howell didn't want to dampen his enthusiasm or make him think he didn't trust him.
I want to know about Bran's visits home to Bryn Idden and Eber that spring, and about the ambush 2 years later. Did you ask them about those times?
I did, my lord, Evan said. The two boys were present only for the ambush, and all they could do was describe to me the flurry of rearing horses and frightened men. Half of Bren's men charged into the forest after the archer, while the two boys were among those who stayed in the road, huddled over Bren's body.
Was that the first time either of them had been under any kind of assault? Howell said.
So I understand, my lord.
Evan's lips twitched, from the shame in their eyes. I imagine they lost their breakfast in the process.
Howell heaved a sigh.
And the old man?
He was reluctant to speak ill of the dead, as he put it, but Bran was not faithful to his wife, nor a dedicated captain to King Owain in Powys.
That is what we expected to hear, isn't it?
Howell said.
Yes, my lord.
Howell hadn't told Evan about Bran's liaison with Gul'das, but his information upheld Lady Alice's story.
We still must wonder, how did Tegwyn get to Aber with nobody noticing?
Evan shook his head.
What's more, Howell said, although the head wound makes me think her murderer killed her in anger, the burial and the subsequent cover-up seem more calculated. Why did she die when she did?
Could the murderer have been afraid of something Tegwyn knew, or something she'd seen? Evan said.
I don't know. Why do I get the feeling that with every hour that passes, we are getting further from Tegwyn's killer?
Further sounds better to me.
Evan gave an involuntary shiver.
The murderer has remained hidden for 5 years. But with Tegwyn's body coming to light, and Madog's death besides, what is to prevent him from killing again in order to keep his secrets?